Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Doing good? Everybody's feeling good, feeling happy in this mid-March morning. Everybody's feeling, you know, confident in things. You probably don't know what that means. There we go. That's what I'm at. Thank you. Thank you. One person's feeling confident this morning. I had some people, some coworkers recently tell me, you seem so confident. Like, you just seem so comfortable in your skin. You seem so confident in everything you do. And I'm like, are you calling me arrogant? Is that what you're saying? They're like, no. Like, you seem very confident. And honestly, I am. Like, I'm very happy with who I am, with the things that I can do and, you know, the things I can't do. Very comfortable in my skin. And I just, yeah, I'm a very confident person. However, it has not always been that way. When I was younger, I struggled with confidence in so many areas of my life. First one was my appearance. And my appearance. I was this tiny, in like middle school and high school, I was this small, weak, little, skinny kid, right? And, you know, you're like, oh, poor you. You were a little skinny kid, right? But, you know, as a young boy, I wanted to be muscular. I wanted to be athletic and strong and be able to do things that other people could do on the court or on the field. And I just remember being like, I don't even want, at pool parties, I'm like, I'm not taking my shirt off. Like, I don't want anybody to see, you know, this. Or being in PE class and doing the pull-up test, like standing around with all these guys and they're up there just ripping these things off. I'm like, oh my goodness, I ain't gonna be able to get halfway up on that bar. Somebody pull the fire alarm, right? Like, I don't, and just getting up, and it was just awful. Like, I see my friends and these other guys who were just, they had it. They had the muscle, they had the good looks, they had the hair, and I just became so jealous of who they were, and I wanted to be them, just like them. Also, another area that I struggle with was my academic ability. I just was not book smart, you know? I struggled to take tests. I could read a paragraph, and you asked me, like, what were three words in that paragraph, and I couldn't tell you one. I read it again. I could not comprehend. I was not good at taking tests. And I just remember, like, sitting in college even, and listening to these lectures, and I was like, I have no idea what this person is talking about, and I know they're going to call on me. I sit in the back and be like, oh, please don't call on me, because if they do, I'm going to say something stupid. It's not going to relate to the content at all. I'm going to look foolish. And my test taking was awful. I just failed test after test because I just couldn't do it. Meanwhile, I see other people just so confident in their academic ability, like raising their hand to answer questions. What? What are you doing? Like, but they knew the answer, and they're just so proud, and they were able to do it. And not like the teacher's handing back tests, and I see A, and I'm like, D, F, you know, and it's like, man, I wish I could be more like them. I was just so jealous of who they were and what they could do. Another area was my relationships. You might find it hard to believe, but I was so shy and quiet, and I think a lot of it had to do with my appearance and my lack of academic ability. And so I wouldn't approach people to start relationships. I wouldn't approach girls to, like, start a conversation. I would hope they would approach me, and they never would. I remember, like, being on a college campus and just looking at these people just going up and starting these conversations and these groups of people hanging out with each other and talking, and I'm just walking along, man, I wish I could do that. I just became so jealous of who they were. Like, I wish I could be more like that, more like them. And then finally, as I, you know, graduated college into my career, I went to school for 5 years to become a PE teacher. 5 years to become a PE teacher, right? I told you I struggled academically, right? I was a PE teacher, and I was pretty good at it, but I was also a coach. And you know, you hear PE teacher, you're like, why were you not confident in that? Isn't like that like the easiest thing you can do? No. I mean, there's hard things about, you got to deal with children, right? It's not as easy as you think it is. But for me, like, I was also a basketball coach, as I've shared before, and I wasn't good at it. I didn't know what I was doing. But I was young, and like most young people, it's like, I'm not going to ask for help, right? Because then people will know I don't know what I'm doing. However, like parents of players would say, you don't know what you're doing. Or, you know, my administrator, you don't know what you're doing. I'm like, oh, I know what I'm doing. Don't worry, I'll figure it out. But I was bad. And I saw these other coaches. I would just sit in games in the bleachers. I remember this, like looking out, and they were so good. They were just so confident in how they instructed their players and how they drew their plays. And everything they said with boldness and complete confidence. And I thought, man, I wish I could be more like that. I wish I could do what they could do and present myself the way they did. I was jealous. In all of these areas, I was just jealous of other people. Anybody else? I don't think I'm the only one. I think we can all probably relate, if not now, at some point in your life, you just see somebody else, you're like, I'm jealous of that person. If I ask you to put into your head right now, who's the person you're most jealous of? That person came to your head because you see what they can do. You see how they look, and you're like, I wish I could be more like that, more like them. And the problem with jealousy, there's several problems. One of the biggest one is that it makes us rejoice when others fail and mourn when others succeed. We go from, we get so deep into this place of, you know what, and you see that person you're jealous of fail and you're like, yes, they went down, they lost, they got a bad grade, yes. So then that leads to you like saying things about them, gossiping, slandering, just tearing them down. That way you can feel better. It's like, where does this jealousy come from? Well, a lot of times it's rooted in insecurity. And the definition of insecurity is when we are not comfortable being who we are because we are consumed with who we are not. We see that person who can do that, or they look like that, or they have this talent, this ability, and we're like, oh. You just become consumed. I wish I could do that. I can't do this. So I wish I could do that. I wish I could be like them. And it creates this insecurity. Now, a lot of people would not call themselves insecure, but we all probably have some insecurities, right? There's things about us that we wish were different. There's things we wish we could do. Things about maybe the way we look that we didn't look that way. And insecurity can be a very, very dangerous thing. It can lead to several things, some of which, first one is being indecisive or afraid, overly concerned about our self-image, avoiding conflict of any kind. And that may sound like a good thing, but it's not. Like I'm not going to stick up for myself. I'm not going to jump into anything where I have to use words or do anything. I'm just going to avoid everything, head down, because we're not secure in who we are. We strive to prove ourselves or to perform for other people because we want to look good. We're just so tired of looking bad all the time. Or we take credit for someone else's accomplishments. Become very judgmental and hypocritical. We say bad things about people, like, why did they do this? And then we go and do it. Hypocritical, right? And a couple more, we become bullies. We can start to bully other people to make ourselves feel better, to bring them down. And then finally, like I said before, we rejoice at others' failures. Do any of you recognize any of that in yourself? You don't have to raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But do you recognize any of that in yourself now? Any of your insecurities that have caused you to do any of these? I lived in this place for years. I just hated who I was. Hated who I was not. I wanted to be somebody different. why do I have to be like this? And so this whole idea of insecurity is not brand new. It's been around for a long time. And in the Bible, if you read through the book of Psalms, which is a really long book, and it's kind of written out in songs, and a guy named King David wrote the majority of the Psalms. And as you read through them, you'll see, man, David struggled. He struggled internally. He struggled emotionally. And like you and I, with David, there were highs and there were lows. He would say one thing that he left behind. The very next line, he's down here. Unlike you and I, David became a king. And he wrote down in the book of Psalms a lot of his feelings, how he was feeling. And if you read through these Psalms, you can see wedged in there all this insecurity that was lodged in his heart. And it's like, where did that come from? Well, if you know his background a little bit, you'll see why David may have been so insecure, why he may have struggled with this emotionally. In the book of Samuel, we have the beginning of where we're talking about David, and it says that the Lord said to Samuel. Samuel was a prophet. Samuel was somebody that the Lord spoke directly to, and it says that, how long will you mourn for Saul? Saul was the first king of Israel, and Samuel loved him, but Saul started doing some things that he shouldn't do, that God did not approve of, and so God's like, Samuel, it's time for a new king. And so I've rejected him over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. So Samuel goes on his way to Bethlehem to find the new king. Fast forward to verse 6. It says, when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab. This is Jesse's oldest son. And he thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. Samuel's like, okay, God, we did it. Can we get this over with? And we'll be home in time for dinner, right? Like, we got the one. He's tall. He's handsome. He speaks well. He's got these gifts and these abilities. He's like, surely this is the one standing before you. Because he's looking at what he looks like. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't consider his appearance or his height. I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Don't we try to make this outward appearance because we don't like who we are, and so we think of like what we want to be able to do, who we can be. And we just focus on that. That's where the insecurity, remember our definition of insecurity? We are not comfortable being who we are because we're absolutely consumed with who we aren't. We have our real self, who we are, who we know we are, and God knows who we are. We're the only two that know. But then we have our ideal self over here. Every person has a real self inside. You know who you are. You know what you can do. You know what you can't do. You know how you were made. But we all strive to present this ideal self. Real self, who I am, and then there's this gap to who I wish I was and wish I could be and wish I could do, and it creates this tension. Because what we start to do is we start to compare ourselves to others, creating that jealousy. We start to compare ourselves, thinking, I wish I could do what they do. But it's not just comparisons that cause the problem. It's comments. Meaning, we hear somebody say something good about somebody else. I remember this, and somebody saying, hey, you're so smart. I heard that to somebody else, and I was like, oh, man. Hand the test back. They got an A. I didn't. You're so smart. Insecurity. And so the comments, but not just the comments we hear people say to other people. People actually say things to us, and it just pulls us down and makes us think, I wish I wasn't this. I want to be that. I wish I wasn't my real self. I want to be my ideal self. So we have this goal of who we wish we could be. And these comments and comparisons become absolutely consuming. And when you are consumed with something, what does that lead to? Action. I got to take action so I don't look like this anymore, so I'm not this person. And so we're like, I'm going to move out of being this person into that person. And we try to become somebody we're not because we want others to approve of us, like us better, think more of us. And we're consumed by it. But what did God say? He said, I don't look at the outward appearance. I'm not looking at what Eliab and the other boys can do. I see the heart. I know what's going on in there. I don't care how tall and good looking they are. I know his heart. That's what God looks at, is the heart. So here's Jesse with his boys, and he's got them all lined up there, right? And he's like, is it this one? No, it's not him. Is it this one? No, it's not him. Samuel's like, come on, God. Is it this one? And just going down the line, God's like, that's not him. And so it comes to the place, he asks Jesse, are these all the sons you have? I have four boys. And if somebody told me, hey, one of your boys is going to be the next president of the United States, first I'd say, Lord, help us. But then I'd be like, okay, all right. Listen, boys, dress up. The secretary of the or whoever would do this is coming to our house, and they're going to choose which one of you is going to be the next president. Get them all cleaned up, all dressed up. Stand in a straight line, boys. This person comes in, and they're like, no, no, no. Is this all the kids you got? I'm like, what? Jesse's like, are you serious? What do you mean it's all the kids I have? Look at these guys. I mean, yes, it's all the kids I have. I mean, I got one more actual, I guess, you know, he's actually my son, but he's dirty, and he can't do much. He's out with the sheep. Like, the only thing he can really do is, like, play a little guitar and like, sling rocks. So you don't want anything to do with him. Like, that's, yeah. And funny thing happens. Samuel says, God says, go get him. So Samuel, he's sent for him and had him brought in. And it says he was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Samuel wrote the book of Samuel, and this is so funny. Here's Samuel again looking at what? The outward appearance. Like, get over it, Samuel. Did you not hear what God just said? I don't care about what he looks like. It ain't about his glowing, handsome features and his appearance. I want him because he's after my heart. I want him for what's in here. And so David comes in. Dirty, smelly, yet handsome and glowing somehow, right? And he stands amongst his brothers. Can you imagine them? Like, why is he in here? And God says to Samuel, rise and anoint him. He's the one. No, it can't be. Nobody could see it. Jesse couldn't even see it. His dad. Can you imagine the insecurity that must have caused in David? The pain? My brothers think I'm nothing. My dad thinks I'm nothing. Everybody must think I'm nothing. Man, I wish I could be more like Eliab and the other brothers. I wish I was tall, good looking. I wish I could speak well. I wish I had more skills. Wish I had some talent. Think about the insecurity that must have developed in David as a young man. But a funny thing happens. After David's anointed, a few years later, he goes and slays a giant. And we all know the story of David and Goliath, right? I mean, most of us. And that's a famous story, this little boy who kills this giant. Where does this insecure little boy who was forgotten and ignored get the confidence to go do something like that? And then he ends up being chased by the king, Saul, who's trying to kill him. And he has the courage and the confidence to keep going, has the ability and the chance to kill Saul, to stop him from, and he doesn't do it. He has the confidence to let him live. And then he becomes king, and he becomes the best, one of the best kings Israel ever had. Now, he had some issues, and he messed up a few times. There was this Bathsheba incident. There were some other incidents, and he wasn't perfect. Nobody is. But he was a good king. Where did he get the courage and the confidence to become and do all of these things from the time he was in that sheep pen, insecure, lonely, I can't do anything, but now I am so confident? We see it in the book of Psalms. He wrote this down. He understood this. He said, for you, talking to God, he said, for you created my inmost being. God, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, God, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know this. David said this. Like he had confidence, not in who he was, but in who God made him to be. He was like, I can do anything because of what God made. I can do anything to bring God glory because of who he made me to be. Anything he wants me to do. He gives me the confidence to be who I am. This word fearfully, we see it like, what does that mean? Like in Hebrew, what David's talking about here, the word fearfully actually means with awe and respect. Just like, I want to make sure I do a good job here. Like God has David laying before us. Okay, I want to put him together nice and perfectly. And the word wonderfully translates to, I want to set him apart from everybody else. You were fearfully and wonderfully made, just like David. But yet we have this ideal self that we created. When actually God created us a certain way, and what happens is while we created our ideal self, it was God who created our real self. And so we created our ideal self. It was God who created our real self. And so when we do this, what we're doing is we say, God, your creation is not good enough. You didn't make me the way that you should have made me. Why did you make me like this? Why couldn't I be better at that? Why couldn't I look like him? Why can't I do my job or do that skill like her? Whatever it might be. And we're telling God, like, you didn't do a good job. Could you have done a little differently? And it is impossible to be insecure, to be secure in God who made you to be, in who God made you to be. This is very wordy. And if you're disappointed in who God didn't make you to be. Because what bothers us and eats us up and frustrates us is not who we are. It's who we want to be, who we're not. Why can't I do that? Why can't I be more like that? And God says, you be who I created you to be. I knitted you together exactly the way I wanted you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God says, I took my time on you. I made you. I said, oh, I don't want to get this wrong. God can't get anything wrong. He didn't mess up when he made you. He made you the way you are for a reason. You're good at that thing for a reason. You're not good at that for a reason. You look the way you do for a reason. And it's good. God loves you how you are. He created you to be that way for a reason. And we get stuck. Be who God created you to be. Now, what this is not, this is not an invitation to say, yeah, forget you, world. I'm going to be me, right? I'm going to be who I want to be. I'm going to do what I want to do and be who I want to be. No, That's ridiculousness. Don't do that. Please don't do that. You be who God made you to be, following His will and His commands. You feel good about yourself because you're created the way you are for a reason and for a purpose. And that reason and purpose is for the glory of God and the good of other people. And He has gifted you and given you talents and given you personality for that purpose. Stop worrying about who you're not. You're not that for a reason. This is not an invitation to say no, world. This is an invitation to live with yourself, to live with your real self. You wouldn't have recognized me 25 years ago. Me 25 years ago would look at me now and be like, no way. No way. I mean, now you talk about my appearance. Like, I don't care about what's wrong with all of this. And there's a lot of things I notice that you may not notice. You probably do, but I'm like, ugh. But I don't care. I don't care that my, you know, hair's changing and, you know, and things are not working. I don't care. Because my wife thinks I look good. And she tells me that. And she fills me up. And God put her in my life to fill me up. That's why I walk with a strut, because my woman thinks I look good. I don't care what about anybody else thinks, right? And God gives me that confidence through her. And my academic ability, man, I tell you, this was a struggle for me. But you know what? I don't ever have to take a test again. If I'm going to like switch jobs or something, and somebody's like, take a test, that's God saying, that's not for you. Right? And except for like the driving license test when I have to like that stuff, but no. And I like to read like fiction stuff now, but I don't care about like reading other stuff as much, but I'm still like not as book smart, as academically as intelligent as a lot of people in this room and online. I promise you that. But God said, that's okay. Because I have an ability to figure things out. I've realized. Like if you put a problem in front of me, I will figure out how to solve that problem. I'm not talking about an algebra problem, by no means. I'm talking about like a situation. Like we need a new system here to fix this. We need something to, I have this ability to figure it out. Like the toilet's not working, I'd figure it out. I just figure things out. And I'm like, God made me that way. I don't care that I can't read a paragraph and remember what it said. Who cares? I'm gonna be who God made me to be. Relationships. Like I was this quiet, shy little kid who walked across campus and kept my head down. And you know what the hardest class for me was that I stayed up all night about? Public speaking. I couldn't do it. And the relationships. I have such a network of people from my job, from this organization that I lead, to the church, just this amazing number of people that have come into my life and I've been able to have interactions with. And my coworkers reminded me this past week, they told me, I am jealous of your ability to just go up to people and start talking about with them and interacting with them. You have such an ability to uplift people and interact with people. I'm like, that's God. Look what He did in me. He is so good. And I walk with a strut and I walk with confidence. I still don't care about who I am. I'm confident in Him and in who He made me to be. And I want to use every skill, every ability I have to glorify him and to impact the kingdom. There's so many, listen, this is not me boasting and bragging on me. There's so many things I'm not good at. So many. If you want a list, ask my children. I'm pretty sure they keep a full list of the things I'm not good at. But all those things, you know what I've done? It's like, okay, I don't care. I'm just going to throw them out of my life. And I'm going to, those few little things that I can do well, I'm going to focus on those because that is how God made me. He said, you know what? This Dallas Darnell, he's not going to be good at this and that and this and that and that and that and that and that. None of that. But these couple things, I'm going to use him for that. That's it. And so check your heart. Why are you jealous of other people? God created you the way he did for a reason. Man, you are so valuable to him. He loves you the way you are. But he loves you too much to leave you that way as well. He wants you to get closer and closer to him. And when I say that, I'm talking about in our walk with Christ. But he made you with your personality, the way you look, with your abilities for a reason. Take pride in that. Walk with your head held high. You are so valuable to God. Check your heart about what's in there. And listen, I'm telling you, the freedom that you will walk in, oh my goodness, the confidence. Check your heart for jealousy. I want to finish by us doing this together. And I want us to really focus on it. We're going to talk to God right now. We can leave our eyes open so we can read. I assume you don't have this memorized. You should, but no. But you should, like, you really should memorize this and just say this every day before your feet even hit the floor. Let's read it together. For you created me, Dallas messed up. Come on, Dal. Here we go. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Yes. Yes, you are. He made you that way. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for who you are and what you have done. I thank you for the people in this room and the people online that hear this right now. And I just pray that your spirit would enter them and know that, yes, God, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank you for making me this way. Thank you for the things I can't do well. Let's praise you for that. And so I just pray, God, that right now every person would know you, would understand that they were knitted together a certain way, and would begin to walk in confidence, not thinking about who they're not, thinking about who you made them to be. Let us stop reaching for that ideal self, and let us live in our real self. We need your help, God. We need your help every day. Fill us with confidence. Fill us with peace about who we are. It's in your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand as we're going to finish.